Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I'm currently in my 60s and no longer as likely to tackle the heavy poundages as I once did in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my days. I've recently declared a quest for optimal wellness. You're invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online groups. And today I'm phenomenally honored to have with me Bill Hinburn of Super Strength Training. Greetings, Bill. How are you?
Hello, Hercules. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just finished my workout a little while ago, so I'm still kind of in that place.
Outstanding.
Today, I need your wisdom, Bill. We've talked about the need for changing your workouts, fairly often, and give yourself enough time to rest. And this technique was recommended twice by folks that I have on the other podcasts for Mythic Physique. And this is doing very high reps with very small weight. So it seems like a lot of things counterintuitive, but the idea seemed to be that doing this would give you bigger muscles. It might not give you the amount of strength that you get by lifting heavier weights, but cosmetically, it would give you more of a bodybuilder's physique. So I figure before my experimentation gets too involved, I would ask you for your insights on that.
Well, I can go back to the end of the 19th century,
okay.
Beginning of the 20th century. Many of the old-time strongmen lifted weights, quote-unquote, as a supplement to their athletic activity, such as wrestling, okay? And the wrestling actually was also an exercise. You're pitting muscle against muscle, et cetera.
Right.
Not necessarily, I wouldn't call it body weight training, but I think you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these old-time strongmen marketed correspondence courses. Okay, the typical 12-lesson course that would, go out every 2 to 4 weeks or whatever. Included in these courses were lightweight dumbbells. Sandow was one, Professor Attila, Georgiev Jowett, Lionel Strongfort, just to name a few. And people would say, well, how can you build muscle with those dumbbells? They're so lightweight. Well, here's the key, okay?
Okay.
Progressive resistance exercise isn't just about the amount of resistance. It's also about the amount of repetitions and the recuperation in between each repetition. And if you're so inclined to do sets, in between sets. And the recuperation period in a matter of hours between exercise periods. For example, do you train Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, allowing 24 hours, or I should say 48 hours between exercise periods, or do you train Monday and Thursday? Okay, allowing 2 days in between. It's important to know that as you get older, you need more recuperation. Now, using light weights has advantages as opposed to using heavy weights. When you're using heavy weights, for example, compound movements, okay, that's usually very popular. You do the squat, the deadlift, the bench press, mm-hmm. a pressing movement, okay? You're calling into more than one muscle type, okay? When you do that, you're also calling upon what is called compensatory or stabilizer muscles. I'm sure when you've worked out with real heavy weight, you can feel that you're not just, for example, in the press, you're not just using your deltoids and triceps. You're also using the biceps to a certain extent.
Yes.
Okay. Using the forearm muscles, using your latissimus dorsi, okay, and all along your spine, you have muscles, and the back, okay, so you're calling on a number of them. Now, if you're using a lightweight, you can concentrate on the muscle, okay, it's a lighter weight, you're going to do more repetitions, okay,
mm-hmm.
Say you're doing a heavy sets of five sets of five, okay, with as much weight as you can handle, okay? Now you flip that and you do 20 reps, say one set, okay? Or 20 reps, two sets, or three sets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The weight is much lighter. It's not as you don't have the resistance. You don't have to fight it as much. And you're certainly not using any stabilizer muscles per se, or at least as much. So you can do far more repetitions. Now, the difference between a heavy schedule, okay, and a light schedule is, like you say, if you want to develop big muscles in a relatively short period of time, you use the heavy weights. If you want to develop endurance, you use the lighter weights. I think my analogy would be better explained if you use the, and I've used this many times before, the difference between a sprinter and a long-distance
uh-huh.
runner. You can look at the physique right off the bat. They're drastically different. A sprinter, they have explosive, large muscular physique. The long-distance runner looks like he's going to die any minute. He's long, lean, okay, and he can just go and go and go. Now, if you want to put both of them in a calamity, swap their training regimens. A long-distance runner's training regimen would absolutely kill a sprinter, okay, and vice versa. Put that long-distance runner into a sprinter's routine, it'll kill him. My high school track coach could look at a kid and could tell if he had the potential to be a sprinter or a long-distance runner. He'd look at him. And more importantly, after the first workout, he could tell who was going to do what. And that is something that you have to let sink in.
Yeah.
Like I say, lighter weights will also allow the targeted muscle to handle the load without needing help from the stabilizer muscles, okay? So you can ensure that routine will focus on that particular muscle group, okay? Now, on the other hand, you've heard of the classic 20-rep squat program.
Yes, the power
okay.
squat.
20 reps, okay? That's far from five reps, which is also used. But you have to consider the 20 rep is looked at as far too many. But nevertheless, it does build phenomenal strength, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing it, you rest as long as you need between the reps. The other thing you have to consider when you're training is with your muscles, over a period of time when you're working them and working them, lactic acid builds up. Okay, when that happens, you're going to get tired very, very quickly. Okay, tired in the muscle, not just tired from breathing.
Activity, yeah.
You can get strong and toned using a five pound dumbbell routine on a regular basis. If you want to work out and be slimmer, and you want to burn unwanted body fat, that is the way to go. Use light weights and high repetitions. Will it make you stronger? Absolutely. If it's progressive, of course. Just the very idea of being progressive, that is adding, and there's three ways of doing it. Adding repetitions, adding resistance, adding sets, and then there's the fourth, cutting time and tightening up your form. Those are the methods, okay? You have to do more today, okay, than you did yesterday to be stronger tomorrow. And when I say more, I mean more in as far as repetitions, again, resistance, sets, cutting your recuperation time, and tightening up your form. Those are the ways of progressing with your training and getting stronger. If you do the same thing every day, you're going to get the same results every day.
Right.
Okay.
I remember when I used to first go to the gym as a kid, there were some guys who were in the gym every single day, and yet they didn't look like they were in the gym every day. You'd see them exercising. They were doing lots of exercises, but I think they weren't giving their bodies enough time to rest.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing is, if you can press, say, you can pick up a 100-pound barbell, and you can press it 12 times. And set it down. And say today's Monday. And Wednesday, you pick up that 100-pound barbell and you press it 12 times and you set it down. And you continue doing that every other day. At the end of that time, you will be able to pick up a 100-pound barbell and press it 12 times.
Right.
Because that's all you're doing. But if you add a repetition every third workout or what have you, if you add resistance, and it can be ever so slightly, it can be ounces, doesn't have to be a pound, okay? Or if you tighten up your form, or if you cut your recuperation time between repetitions, that makes for progress, okay? There was a German physical culturist, Dr. Theodor Siebert. His philosophy was passed on to the great Alan Calvert. And his motto was, do the most amount of work in the least amount of time. And that is the key, okay, to getting stronger. But over time, low reps with heavy weight tends to increase muscle mass, while high reps with light weight increases muscular endurance. So, you know, as a rule, those are two general statements I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, light weights or heavy weights, will make you stronger. Heavyweights using compound movements and low reps, and if you're so inclined to do sets, okay, make them low, that makes for heavier muscle mass and makes you stronger, okay? It doesn't do much for endurance, okay? And the same holds true if you're going to do high reps. And again, keep in mind what I said about the sprinter versus the long distance runner. And this is how it works. I don't think that, you know, there was a time when, you know, people said you're going to get muscle bound, you know, and the ladies would stick away or, you know, stay away from lifting heavy weights because it would make them bulky. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Look at the gymnasts. Okay.
Years to get this muscle.
And they have a very, very, very good physique. Okay. You know, it doesn't have to be just a 5-pound dumbbell. You can use a 10-pound dumbbell. Okay. It depends on the individual. You know, I always try to steer clear from the time-worn saw, one size fits all. It doesn't. One size fits one size. It's as simple as that. You will have to decide whatever training regimen you decide to take up based on your height, your weight, your age, your experience. Okay? There are a number of things. For example, if you have long legs, you know, the mechanical advantage, or I should say disadvantage, with doing a squat, whereas a person with short legs, they have a mechanical advantage, okay? And pressing, if you have long arms versus short arms. You know, the old adage, never get in a contest with a short-armed Hercules on push-ups. He'll kill you, you know, because he doesn't have that far to travel, and he has the fulcrum advantage, okay? And to get stronger, barbells are one avenue to Rome, okay?
Right.
You can get stronger by wrestling. You can get stronger with body weight exercises. You can get stronger with gymnastics, okay? But the whole key over time is it has to be progressive. If you want to be stronger, if you want to progress to get stronger, okay, that's a progression. Okay, you're going to, be able to handle more resistance. Now, if you want to get weaker, okay, atrophy, do less. You can go in reverse.
That's a very good point. In my current workout that I'm doing, which Ryan had suggested using pyramids and antagonistic sets, you know, so I started playing with that idea. And I like the workout. I currently break my body down into four sections. I have my arms, I have my legs, and then I have my torso. And the shoulders get exercised with the legs. So I do every part gets 2 days, and then on Sundays I do my abs. So it's not, you know, because my abs get work every single day with the exercises that I do. And although I add things here and there, primarily I've been using that pyramid system, and I range from 5-pound dumbbells to 40-pound dumbbells, depending on what body part I'm exercising. I get to do a lot of reps during the course of a workout, and it leaves me pleasantly fatigued when I'm done. And giving it 2 or 3 days in between each breakdown gives that part of my body plenty of time to rest. As you pointed out, we use other parts of the body, you know, when we do exercises, but the focus isn't on those parts of the body. And in order to make it more difficult, every week I start off with a number. So when I first started, when he gave me the idea, it was with 5. So you start off with a lightweight, you do 5 reps, then you do a heavier weight, 5 reps, until you can't do 5 reps, and then you descend the pyramid. So I'm still doing that, but I up the amount of reps. So now I'm doing 9 reps for each step in the pyramid. And I'm finding that that gave a whole oomph to the, you know, ignoring the 5 reps. I did that for a couple of weeks, and it's like, hey, let me just increase the repetitions, as I've been increasing the poundages, as I could do more of these reps. And I find that lactic acid builds up a lot quicker, so I need to do stretches when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something not lifting the weights. And then as soon as the buildup goes away, I immediately go back to where I was and continue. And sometimes it happens once, sometimes up to three times in a workout where I need to stop to get the lactic acid, you know, to stop cramping my muscles.
Sure. Yeah, and when you're working out with dumbbells as opposed to barbell, okay, the dumbbell
mm-hmm.
requires more stabilizer muscle. When
yeah.
you're doing, for example, a press with a barbell or dumbbell presses with two dumbbells, okay, the arms, hands, and what have you don't have the advantage when you're using dumbbells that you do with the barbell. In other words, you can't, you know, each arm can't help each other with a barbell.
Right.
With the dumbbells, each arm is on their own. So when you get up to the high poundages or that last rep, there'll be some wobbling. That's where the
yeah.
stabilizer muscles are working hard.
I found it when I was using the bands, and I still use the bands in my workout, but they're not the focus anymore. That when I switched to the dumbbells, I noticed that my arms, for instance, were not equally as strong. So using the band is like using a barbell. You know, you could, you know, kind of compensate if one part is stronger than the other. And now by using the dumbbells, my arms are getting equally strong rather than one being substantially stronger than the other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when you do that, okay, most importantly, and this is something that is overlooked, you have to be consistent, or I should say persistent. You have to continue training. You can't let up. You can't say,
right.
"Oh, I'm not getting any results." Or you have to give it enough time. You have to give the workout a chance to give you results. And then, of course, over a period of time, everybody has good days and bad days, sickness, health. You know, it's very easy to, you know, catch a cold and or whatever. And then, you know, maybe you'll skip a couple workouts. Don't get lazy. You got to get back to it.
Yes.
Even if you do something. You follow me? It doesn't have to be the same workout. Doesn't have to be the same repetitions. Doesn't have to be the same resistance. Do something and then get back into the groove. I tell people and I've told people and told people and told people, okay, when they tell me, well, I'm hitting a wall, you know, hitting a plateau, you know, I'm tired, the weight's gym, the sticking point, you call it what you want. I tell them, take a week off. Hell, even take two weeks off, okay? But let's try taking a week off completely. Don't touch any exercises of any kind. Don't run, don't walk. I mean, don't do anything that involves exercise, okay, for a week. Then come back, drop all your poundages by 10%. Same workout. Exact same workout. Don't change it. Just drop the resistance 10% and proceed. A lot of times that works a miracle for people. I don't know if it's psychological or power of suggestion simply because I suggested it, or they just knew that but they wanted to have it reinforced by somebody else. I confess, I really don't know. But it does work. Yes. Now, you can also, rather than take off 1 week, take off 2 weeks, okay? And you can drop your resistance by 20%, okay? All the resistance, same routine, okay? Same days that you're training, you know, be it every other day or every 2 days, whatever, okay? Taking it 1 day in between or 2 days, doesn't make any difference. Just go back at it and continue, okay? because there is a balance there between resistance, causing your body to resistance, to antagonism, and recuperation. There's got to be that balance, because if you're not careful, you will work the muscles more than they can recuperate. You have to give them time to recuperate. Recuperation is the key. You know, you can eat right. You can do all sorts of different types of progressive resistance exercise. I don't like to focus on barbells necessarily or dumbbells, because there's bands like you suggested. There's cables. There's body weight exercises. There's just a number of things.
Right.
But recuperation. Okay, and the other thing is eating right. Okay, everybody says, you know, they're going on a keto diet, or they're going to go vegan diet, or they're going to, oh God, the list is endless. Or I'm taking creatine now, and like that's going to be a magic elixir. It's not.
Okay. No.
We could do a show on just food supplements if you want to get me really cranked up, you know. Because
I look forward to that.
Supplements should be kept exactly as they are called, supplements, okay? But anyway, that's entirely a different topic. I say recuperation is very important. And I'm not talking about sleep. They're entirely two different things. Recuperation, okay, is the broad umbrella, okay? Sleep put underneath the umbrella, as well as relaxation, entertainment, calm your nervous energy. Some people do yoga. Some people do, what is that other thing? They sit in meditation. And some people get marvelous results from that. They say, it's the greatest thing I've ever done. I wish I'd have done it years and years ago. Well, I say this, whatever works for you.
Right.
Try it. If it works for you, continue. If it doesn't, dump it. Try something else. Okay? But recuperation is very, very, very important. There are some people that will train with barbells and dumbbells on Monday, and then they will do a different activity. Okay? They might do body weight exercises on Tuesday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand something. Your body doesn't understand. Your muscles don't know if you're lifting a dumbbell. They don't know if you're lifting a barbell. They don't know if you're doing a push-up, like body weight exercises, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All they know is that the muscles are being called into action. We're all born with X number of muscle fibers, and everybody's different. Some people have more than others, okay? That's called
mm-hmm.
genetics. Some people have longer muscles, different muscle connections, longer bones, shorter bones. Some people are prone to certain joint, heavy joints, light joints, what have you, okay? But when your muscles are called into action, okay, if you're doing
mm-hmm.
a curl, okay, when your body calls a muscle fiber into action, that muscle fiber, individual fiber, responds 100%. There is no 50%. That fiber, that one muscle fiber, and you've got jillions of them in your body, that one muscle fiber responds 100%. Now, the key is when a person is really straining, okay, you know, you can fool around with doing a 40-pound curl or what have you, okay? But when you get up in the higher reps, or if the weight is far heavier and you're starting to strain, when you're straining, you're calling on more muscle fibers. You
mm-hmm.
follow me?
Yes.
And that is the key. And I honestly believe people have a psychological or a mental advantage that they can call on more fibers, okay, and become stronger. Now, when you were a kid, and I always use this, when you were a kid, you knew guys that were long and wiry, okay? They didn't look strong. They didn't look like they had big muscles. Understand what I mean? Big diameter, big...
Right.
No, but they were strong, unbelievably strong. But they were, you know, the beanpole type people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a good example of people that can they can call in more muscle fibers. They don't know that they can do it. They see everybody thinks they're normal,
right?
Because they have nothing to they can't step out of their body and into somebody else's and make a relative comparison. You know, crazy people don't. Crazy people think they're normal. They can't understand why we don't think like they do. That's just how it is. Everybody thinks that they're, you know, normal. Doesn't everybody think like this? Doesn't everybody, can't everybody lift that weight like that? I can. I can set it back down and walk away. I've known people that have never lifted weights that are ungodly strong, you know, from doing other activities. They didn't do any progressive type stuff. They just happened to have a natural propensity towards you know, strength. So that has to be taken into account if you're going to look at lightweights and heavyweights. I think what we're trying to decide here is which one is better. Well, I don't think either one is necessarily better. I think they both have their advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And if done properly, will allow you to get stronger. Okay? The long-distance runner is stronger than the short-distance sprinter in his own particular capacity, okay, for the goal that he's trying to reach. And the sprinter is stronger than the long-distance runner based on the activity that he trains for. You can't compare oranges to apples, okay? It's just...
Right.
They're both fruit, but they're both in their own category, okay? And I think that's what we're trying to figure out. And,
Definitely hit the nail on the head. And you're also, although you haven't said it this time around, except I think once you mentioned it, you have to know what your goals are. There's a difference between a long-distance sprinter. So if you want to, you have to know what you want so that you work toward getting it, and just doing random exercises won't get you anywhere.
No, and that's, you know, I've explained this to people that that look at Olympic lifting, okay? Olympic lifting, you know, everybody thinks, well, this guy's just lift a weight, and he's just, you have to be strong to do it and pick it up, press it, and, you know, snatch whatever you're doing. Okay. Olympic lifting is an activity in itself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total body act of coordination. Strength helps. Strength, my personal belief, is secondary. Technique is primary. Okay. I can show you people that strongest man of the world, okay? You know, pick a name.
Okay.
If he's never done any Olympic lifting, okay, you get a good Olympic lifter, he will outlift him. You know, the old adage where you never compete against somebody at their own game.
Yes,
you
I've
know,
heard that.
That's a good example. There are Olympic lifters that have awesome technique. You've got one gal, I can't remember what country she's from now, but she's breaking all sorts of records. Awesome technique. Yeah, she's strong. And there are other ladies that are far stronger in their particular activity. For example, maybe bench press, squat, or what have you. But when you're doing explosive movements, okay, when you're doing a squat, a snatch, or a clean and jerk, okay, you have to have technique. A good Olympic coach, if you approach a good Olympic coach and you say, I want to learn how to do the two Olympic lifts, seeing as how they dropped the third one, the press, the first thing he'll do is hand you the bar. Won't put any weight on it. And you're going to practice with that bar until you're going to be doing it in your sleep. And it's all about technique. And a good Olympic lifting coach will be like a good golf instructor, okay? A good golf pro. Mm-hmm. You play golf? I don't. But I know guys that I've known guys that say if you're going to learn how to play golf, go to a pro first because it's so easy to develop bad habits. And once you get a bad habit going, it's a bitch changing it, okay? That the muscle pathways and everything get locked in and you're stuck. But by the same token, if you learn it correctly and those muscle pathways are locked in, they're hard to break. So it's best to learn it the right way first. But with the Olympic lifts, the explosive lifts like that, technique is far more important. Don't get me wrong, Hercules. It isn't. I'm not saying you have to be strong to do it. That's ludicrous. I'm simply saying that you have to have the technique because Olympic lifting is an activity. That's why the popularity, you know, it's on the bubble right now to get thrown out of the Olympics, which is a darn shame because it
really
was one of the original. Well, why? It's like wrestling, you know. Most people have never wrestled. And most people have never done any of the Olympic lifts, okay? So they can't really appreciate it. They can't relate to it. It's like me. I don't play any musical instruments.
Nor do I.
My son does. My son plays instruments, and he will listen to something, and he'll say, oh, did you hear that? Wow. You realize how hard that is to play? I said, no, I don't. I have no idea, so I can't appreciate it. I can't appreciate it because I've never done it, you know. If you have an ear for it and what have you. You know, I hear people play music, and I really like it, and my son said, well, he's making mistakes. You hear that? Nope, that wasn't supposed to happen. And we're talking, you know, rock and roll. We're talking modern-day music, okay? But I don't hear it because I don't play it and what have you. Well, it's the same thing. And the thing is, with the Olympic lifting and wrestling, as just two examples, there are only so many events that they can have in the Olympics, both summer and winter. Okay? And it's all based on popularity. It's all based on commercial advertising and where they're getting the most for their buck. Now, if you put a bikini on these girls and anything, boom, the ratings will shoot up. It's like that, what is that called, beach volleyball or something?
I don't know.
The girls are running around and, scantily clothed and all that stuff. Oh, that's really popular.
Really?
But women's softball...
I never
women's
heard of
softball has just been put back on. It was taken off. Okay? Women's
That's
softball was taken out of the Olympics, and now it's back on. So it's all based on popularity.
And wrestling, Pankration, goes back to the origins of the Olympics in antiquity.
Oh yeah. And the first, I don't know if you knew this, the first Olympic event, the first one, the very first Olympics that was held was one event. I think it was a 200. Was it a 200 mile? Not 200 mile. 200 rings a bell. Anyway, it was all men, and they ran naked.
In Greece, yes.
There were no women allowed.
In Greece, that was true. Gymnasium means the place where you go to be naked. That's what it literally means.
Gymnasium,
yeah. The naked place.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
The naked place. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And the Spartans had women's sports. And I don't remember if they were naked or if they wore small chitons. But the Spartans were the only ones that had women's sports because the Spartans were encouraged to be strong and to be warriors, you know, no matter who you were in Spartan society. So they had that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a, here it is. The first Olympic Games were in 776 B.C., and it was won by Corobus, a cook from the nearby city of Elis, won the stadium race, a foot race 600 feet long.
Wow.
So I was wrong. I for some reason, 200 stuck in my mind, but it was 600. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come to you at some point later after we finish for today.
Oh, it always does, yeah.
Well, Milo Croton, who was an ancient athlete, he invented progressive resistance. What Milo did was he took a newborn calf and he lifted it up in front of his shoulders, and then he'd lift that same calf every single day.
Right.
Until it grew up and he could lift a bull. And by then the bull was used to too. So, that's how progressive resistance came into being. And the ancient Greek athletes also had these things that look like D weights today. D weights are these things you hold in your hand that look like the letter D. But they had that in antiquity too. And they used to do a lot of the same exercises that were rediscovered later on and became bodybuilding.
Right. Yeah. It's, oh, by the way, Milo of Croton, you know what he did with a bull after he was finished?
No.
He slaughtered it and ate it.
Oh, okay.
What a guy. Yeah. But, I just, I find that interesting about the progression and what have you. I for some reason, I had it in my mind years ago, and it's probably not true, but the going on with the all men at the Olympics, I wondered what the women did. For some reason, there's something stuck in my mind that there was some sort of activity that the women did while the men were away at the games. You know, and of course, the games increased in popularity, and of course, there were events added and stuff like that. I don't know.
It's been a while since I looked into that. I know that women at a certain point were not really allowed to go unescorted outside of the household.
That's true in a lot of countries, yeah.
Women were very protected, and there were certain women called heterae that people usually translate as courtesans, but that's not really accurate. They were allowed to go to men's events, and they were very cultured, and we can get into these conversations. But a lot of them were drinking parties. So, you know, when you hear a lot of Greek philosophy and oratory, and it came from a symposium, it came from a drunken party. So it helps you see antiquity in sort of like a different light.
Well, yeah, women were banned from the Olympics under penalty of death.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that's how it was. And the other thing was the first time that women were allowed to compete in the Olympic Games was in 1900 in Paris. You know. And they competed out of 997 athletes, 22 women. 22.
Wow.
Competed in 5 sports: tennis, sailing, croquet, equestrianism, and golf. So, you know, it's anybody who says we haven't come a long way.
We have come a long way.
Better take a look, you know.
But we still have a long way to go.
But, you know, a lot of it, people will say, well, why weren't women included in this? And why were women protected and all that. Well, up until World War II, there were more men in the world than women. And the reason for that was medical science hadn't come across the wonder drugs like penicillin and stuff like that. If you go to any of the old cemeteries, you'll see a lot of the little headstones, tiny ones. You know, babies died. There would be women that would have 12 kids and only four survive.
Right.
You know,
right.
Up
very
to a certain age.
And a lot of them would
and
die.
Women would die at childbirth.
Yeah.
So women were protected and taken care of. Now, and the other reason, this is something else, and I'm going off subject. So, if you want to bring me back, just say,
no,
hey, we're going to get back on track here.
I enjoy speaking with you, so. I'm having a good time.
I appreciate it. I enjoy speaking with you. Here's an interesting thing. Why are there separate restrooms? Here's the reason.
Okay.
The Industrial Revolution, which took place at the beginning of the 20th century, okay? Factories and what have you and all that. All right. Again, women were protected, and so they had their own facilities. That's what started. Because, for example, I knew guys that were in the service in, the 1950s. And if you went into Japan, for example, you go into a restroom, and it's one community restroom. And the toilets were a big bench. And you would sit next to Mama-san or whoever, and there you are. There was no, no privacy, no separation, no nothing. Okay.
That's
so,
true with bathing, too. There were a lot of bathing places. Down by the sea, people would go to swim before the days of bathing suits, or they'd go into hot houses and steam rooms, and it was both sexes, and not a big deal was made out of it.
Right. And a lot of it, again, was out of the protection of women, because women were very volatile. You know, that's where the so-called weaker sex, it was perceived that they were weaker, although that's been proven time and time again to be wrong. Through a lot of the athletics and stuff like that. When I was a kid in high school, early 60s, girls did not play many sports. If they did, it was something like maybe softball or volleyball or something. But it was never any serious competitive. It was more like recreational type stuff. And if a girl was too good at something, she would actually sabotage her own abilities and what have you, because she was afraid she wouldn't get any dates or whatever, you know, or somebody would think
that's what they were told. I remember growing up hearing family members tell their female children about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't look too smart, or you'll scare away the men. Be too physically active, because you'll scare away. Nobody will want you. So that was something that was culturally reinforced. So no wonder they believed it.
And as late as the 1970s, girls were discouraged from going into engineering and, college and what have you. And girls didn't go into engineering. What the hell is that all about? You know, they don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But you look at a lot of the cars nowadays, and the interior and what have you, with the cup holders and all the, and the way they're designed on the inside and what have you, especially the minivans, there were women engineers. There's no man in his right mind would come up with half that stuff. Men just wouldn't look at it from that point of view. But a lot of the minivans, that was their market. Women, mothers, the soccer mom mentality.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And believe me, it's the same way with athletics. You know, women get into a sport, and you'd be surprised. They're very, very good, even competing against men. Yeah, they don't have the physical strength, but, they do very, very well when it comes to eye-hand coordination and what have you. I've watched a lot of women's softball, slow pitch, fast pitch. Believe me, they are – you can – pull up the videos on on the internet, and I tell you, they're good, you know. And the same way with a lot of the other sports. Well, they have them in MMA. Competing, you know.
I'm a Lemnian Greek, and that's the island of the Amazons from Greek mythology. And there, to this day, they have statues of warrior women, Marula, who in fairly recent times, a couple of centuries ago, she helped them win against the enemy, which I believe was the Ottoman Empire at the time.
And that was a tough one right there, the Ottoman, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But it is a cultural thing, and
yes.
You know, it depends where you were raised and what people around you believe and what they tell you, and it takes like years to sit through all that stuff and to realize that a lot of it's bullshit. You know, some of it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Some things I wish I listened to more, but a lot of things weren't very helpful in life.
Right. And the other thing is, as far as progressive resistance training, women respond very well to it, okay?
Right.
They don't have as much testosterone as men. They have more estrogen. And men have, surprisingly, estrogen, but they have more testosterone.
Right.
And the thing is, when men get older, the amount of testosterone starts to wane. And so that opens up for the loss of body mass and what have you. It's just the natural aging process.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see men wear suspenders. Okay? They can't keep their pants up because they lose the buttocks muscle. Okay? That muscular mass. And there's nothing to hold their pants up. You know, as far as a belt, there's just nothing. So it's easier for them to navigate with suspenders.
Suspenders.
Okay. And same way with the shoulder. You can see that the shoulder muscles, you know, the deltoids and what have you, shrink and stuff like that. It's just part of the process. Now you can, you know, naturally continue exercising and everything, but it's not going to, you know, it's you're going to have a tough time maintaining that muscular size that you had in your 40s and 50s.
Right. And that's the reality of it. But I found by going through this, you know, and now getting older, that I just like lifting weights. So it's not even a matter of getting a particular physique anymore or, you know, it's just I enjoy it. I enjoy lifting weights. I enjoy playing around with the exercise equipment. I enjoy trying different things and looking at what the result is. And so, yeah, it's something that I truly, truly enjoy. And a lot of times we give things up in life because we think they're foolish or we think we've outgrown them. But sometimes those things are very meaningful, and it takes a while to find your way back to that. And everybody's life is about something else, and we all have passions, and that's one of my passions. I just love doing it.
Well, if you love doing it, it's a great tension reliever.
Yes.
It's something that can that you can do that is relaxing. Remember what I said about recuperation and stuff like that. And you know, if you like doing something, you're more apt to do it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You're more apt to make excuses to do it. If you don't like doing something, you're more apt not to do it. Make excuses. Well, I'd rather do that. I don't have the time. I don't this. I don't that. You know, because quite simply, you don't want to do it. If you wanted to do it, you would make time.
Right.
And when you stop and think about it, a half hour, even an hour, every other day, okay, to do something like that. If you get that much enjoyment out of it and it makes you feel better, you know, there's no reason not to do it, you know. But some people are not going to take a chance and break a sweat or do something that they may not care to do, anything that involves with, you know, work. And by definition, work is when you'd rather be doing something else. So for you, working out is not work if you like doing it.
That's very true. And my goal is by the time I retire totally, to build past all the things I feel passionate about so that I could spend my retirement, in addition to spending time with the people I love, doing the things I love, you know, and then, you know, when it's my time to go, I'll go. But that's my goal at this particular point. And it involves giving up a lot of things that aren't that important, and you just do them out of habit or, right now that's the road that I'm on. I'm examining everything and like what's really important to me, what isn't important to me, and kind of trying to put my energy into what's truly important to me.
Yep.
And we're at the end of our hour, and I really enjoyed this conversation. Bill, it's a special treat for me when we get together and talk, and I always learn a lot from it. I wish you well, and I'm looking forward to our next conversation already.
Absolutely. Me too.
How can people find you and tap into the wonderful world of super strength training?
Well, go on the internet and type in superstrengthtraining.com, and my website will pop up, and you can sign up for my free daily emails. Just put your name, first and last name, on the one line and your email address and click send, and you will get a response type welcome email, and should get an email just about every day. And on the various topics, just like the one we had today.
Right.
And biographies, how-to information. It's entertaining, to say the least, you know. I try to make all the emails a matter of we'll supply you with the inspiration and instruction, and you supply the dedication and perspiration. That's what I like to say.
Yeah, they're fun to read, and they're not that long, you know, and they contain links to resources if you want to continue exploring that. And I love getting those emails, and I think I pointed out last time I still have some of your paper catalogs, which I have with my treasured books, because they're awesome.
Good. I'm glad you do.
Well, thanks again, Bill, and thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you tuned in live as we're speaking or whether you'll be joining us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and we'll close with Mighty Elohim, if I could find it. No, I can't, so we'll close with Golden Vow.
Lady of moonlight, lady of day.